And there's hardly, lights aren't working. A couple of lights are working throughout the building. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I know just enough to be dangerous. So I did my two dangerous things, tried this, tried that. I just fake it till you make it. So I go back to the back panel in the mechanical room with the big electric box, and I just open it. And then I close it. Just so I feel like I did something, okay? So then I called our friend Gus, and he happened to be working really close by, and he came by, and he's running around. If you know Gus, he just runs. My little, and he goes, D, this is bad. I was like, count it all joy. And then he says, well, call Brian Eckenrode, and he's one of our guys that comes here. He works in the sound booth, who is actually an electrician. And he's running around. He's got flashlight, and I'm hearing click, 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 and is it working? So this is like about 4 o'clock now, and I've been in the dark. I've had an extension cord trying to get on a computer, and I'm trying to count it all joy, I'm doing it. And then Brian says, it's bad. I was like, So it turned out it's the pole. If you look out that window, we have a pole, and this is my interpretation. There's actually 3 lines, I call it the D. Cashman electrician version, that run into the building. And out of those 3 lines, we had 2.3 quarters of them not working. We had just enough to have a couple lights go on. So me and Med Ed, we're making phone calls, and I'm in the dark, and I have a zillion things to do. I need to be on the computer, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I left here, and I think I got a 50% on the test. But we have electricity. And I said, that's okay. I'm going to bed early, so I think I had PJs on at 9 o'clock, and geez. So I said, Lord, I'm not preaching on Count It All Joy for a while. That's it. I'm going to do something else here. So moving along, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful word, your word, and we thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. Amen. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you give us understanding, and then we can put it into practice, and then we can walk in all the amazing blessings and life that you've planned out for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. But man, I wanted to go a whole different direction for this Sunday, and the Lord says no. I said, all right, I'm going to count it all joy, you know. It's been like my slap on everything. And so before I tell you what we're going to preach on, you can write this down. And this is what the Lord says. Start with this question. Ready? Do you have a choice? So you write it down. Do I have a choice? Do I have a choice? Okay. And I don't know about you, but from March until about now, we have had, and I'm not trying to get anybody upset, and please don't call out and say, that's right. Okay. Just go light this part. Okay. But we have had all sorts of restrictions. Amen. You can say amen. Okay. And you know, just when I was getting used to one restriction, another one. And I haven't even adjusted to the first one, and then another one, and another one. And, you know, I'm thinking like, wow, okay, that's where you don't get upset. Did I really have a choice in this? Don't answer that, okay? Did I really have a choice? Okay, so because of these restrictions, I know for a fact there's been some family members that they have not been able to go visit their loved ones in nursing homes or those, whatever they are, okay? You're right? And then they shut down businesses. And I really, like, really a restriction with my hairdresser? Are you kidding me? Okay, so we've had these restrictions that have been going on of all kinds of things. And what I found is that these restrictions can start pressing in on us. Oh, yeah, I've heard some nasty stuff out there, all right? They were pressing in on us, okay? And it seemed as though we didn't really have a choice. Now, I'm going to shift gears. Don't sit in the junk over there. So here's the thing. I want to talk about something today that you do have a choice. Okay? Everybody should have me smile. Just leave all that over there. You do have a choice. In fact, no one else can make these choices. Not even God can make the choice for you. You have some choices in your life that you have to make. And believe it or not, you need to make them every single day. We have choices we have to make every single day. Now, what I'm going to talk about, you're going to like, because these choices don't have any of those restrictions. Yeah, okay? These choices that we get to make will actually empower you. They'll actually set you free. So everybody say, I have a choice. And you should be smiling. I have a choice, okay? So today what I want to talk about is fear. Fear. And not the fear of the virus, though that is real, okay? Not the fear. But I want to talk about, because of this virus thing that's going around, it has actually resulted in, but it's resulted in global upside down. How do you like my new word? Upheaval. I had to look in the thesaurus on a new word because, you know, I always say these second grade terms. So we've got this global upheaval. We actually got this going in our nation. And some of y'all got this upheaval going on in your homes, all right? So it's so interesting that all because of this pandemic, we've got this stuff going on in our life, all righty? And it's just not been fun. But what I want to share today about fear, I believe will help you feel safe. I want you to get to the place where you get out of fear and you feel safe. And actually, even in this economy, which is just terrific, right? All right. But here's the deal. How many of you read your Bible? Every hand should shoot up right away. Yes, Pastor D, I read my Bible. Amen. Okay. You go read your Bible. There's actually miracle stories after miracle stories after miracle stories in the Bible where God did miraculous things in times of famine, in times of war, in the desert, in crisis, and in national crises. Okay? God has shown up. Read your Bible. All righty? So, it's just so interesting to think about this. If God has done this and it's been written in our Bible, maybe he's not unfamiliar. Like, he didn't wake up in March and go, oh my gosh, what is that? Okay? He's not unfamiliar with disasters. He's not unfamiliar with crises. As a matter of fact, how about he might be a professional at this stuff? He is a professional at dealing in crisis. Read your Bible. He's a professional at dealing in disasters, all right? And he actually, if we choose, he will lead you and guide you in all of this stuff, okay? But the choice is mine, okay? All right. Now, here's another crazy thing. We got pandemic here and upheaval global and national. Do you think God's plans are on hold? Oh my gosh, I got to put my plans on hold. You know, I was planning on doing this and this. I can't do this. I got to put it on hold. No. And listen, I was planning on going out for birthday week in Missouri for my grandkids, and I had to put them on hold. But I got a credit. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get out there, all right? But listen, God's plans don't go on hold just because of crisis, pandemic, upheaval, okay? As a matter of fact, listen, God's plans actually unfold. Amen. It's time to say amen. If you choose, he will unfold his plans, and they're always good, okay? But the problem is we kind of get distracted. We get distracted by the enemy. So we need to look and see what God's doing. And guess what? God is always doing something. And his something is always good because God is good. Amen? He's doing stuff, all righty? So let's talk about this fear thing. First off, who's the author of fear? The devil, the enemy, okay? And he's actually has strategies. He is not a dingbat winging it, okay? He has strategies and he has plans. And it's nothing, I was telling the other day, it's nothing personal with you. He didn't like God's plans. He got kicked out and you love the Lord and he's just got, you know, you're just in it, all right? But he has plans and strategies. And one of his strategies is fear. He uses fear. That's one of his strategies, okay? And part of his plan is to get people in fear, to get people groups in fear. How about get your nation in fear? And how about this whole world is in fear, was just talking to someone in the foyer, and fear, okay? And haven't we seen that? Just fear. But here's the thing. That is one of his strategies. So fear is a strategy of the enemy. How many hate the enemy? I hate him. All right, you're allowed to say, I hate you, okay? So I hate him, so I hate fear. I hate the strategy, okay? Now, fear just didn't start March with the media. It didn't start with our media. They sure were just terrific about it, okay? And I hope you figured out that you had to limit what you saw and you had to be selected of what you heard, okay, on the media. Anybody figure that out after about 2 weeks? Matter of fact, on week number three, I said, Pastor Sherry, just tell me what's going on. I'm not looking at this stuff anymore. So you got to call me up because I'd probably show up and, you know, where is everybody, all right? So, so listen, fear is a strategy of the enemy. And it actually started with him expanding our appetite for fear. Pastor D, what do you have for breakfast? No. I know that sounds crazy, but listen to this. He expanded appetites for fear. He expanded people's appetites for fear. Okay, what now? My kids say, Ma, when I hear that tone, anybody hear your kids say Ma? Okay. It's usually not an uplifting, okay? Ma, you're old fashioned. Ma, you know, that was okay, but listen, okay? He expanded our appetite through fear. Just hang with me. Some of you are going to go, oh, crud, here she goes. Through the entertainment industry. You must be old. You said it's right, okay? But the rest of you youngins are like, what, Pastor? I'm going to look at you guys, okay? Listen to this, all right? He's actually gradually developed people's appetite for fear. Come on, or at least panic. You go to these movies or watch whatever, and it's all about fear. Let's bite our nails. Let's scream. Let's go, ah, come on. All right, so we actually have developed an appetite for fear. And now I'm going to be really extreme. How about we get addicted to fear? And this is the crazy part. You all, me too, pay for fear. We pay to have fear in our life. Come on. Y'all quiet out there. Got one, got free to do. Raise your hand. Okay. We actually pay for it. Okay. And so, okay, I'll be nice. We pay for mild forms of panic. Okay. Now, I can't do those things. Because I will have every light on in the house. So I quit that years ago. All right. But listen, pretty much a whole society is familiar with fear, all right? Familiar. So, okay, now I'm going to stretch you. If we've got this going on in the industry, that means we're familiar with fear. So how about you're familiar, I'm going to stretch you, with the enemy then? Because who's the author of fear? All right. Okay, it gets happy in a few minutes, okay? Now, even if we don't think of this as an enemy, we don't think of this entertainment and the fear and the panic that we pay for and we watch, okay? We just think, well, it's just there, Pastor D, okay? I know. I try watching TV and I'm like, okay, it's just there, okay? And we've actually come to enjoy it. Now, I fess up some of my stuff. You fess up some of yours, okay? So I'm not perfect on this, but we actually enjoy it, okay? Now, so fear, it's okay. Some of this, it's just low level and it's enjoyable until it starts robbing you of peace. It starts controlling the way you live your life. Now, I'm not talking about the entertainment part, but there's types of fear that have no longer just, oh, that's Pastor D, that's just entertainment. I know that, but there is fear that jumps from that category to the category that is robbing from your life. And we're going to talk about some of these, okay? Robbing from your life, controlling your life, okay? And guess what? That is not fun. That is not fun. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Ready? If you serve fear, serve it, all right? You will end up serving what you fear. Okay, so we have this fear in a category of fun and entertainment, okay? And it's just entertainment, Pastor D. But listen, there's fear that if we bow our knee to it, we're going to talk about those things because, you know, this is just entertainment. But there's fear that if we bow our knees to it or respond, and I'm going to use this word the rest of the time, if we respond to it, guess what? You end up serving what that fear is. Now, some of you are like, where's she going? Just hang on. I'll get there, okay? But let me back up. Fear, the devil activates, all right? So you can have... And I've had to spot some of this, but I have had in my past, there's some things, fear in my life, okay? But it was laying dormant, okay? Until something triggered it. And that something might have been a someone, and all of a sudden, or it might be something that happened, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, I won't go with that example. I'll just keep moving. Okay, so fear is a strategy of the devil, and you can have it laying dormant in your life. Okay, and then something happens, and pow, you're back in the fear. Okay, so that is why you see panic attacks. That is why you see meltdown anxieties, because there's been fear. Okay, and it may have been laying dormant, but all of a sudden somebody said something or something happened that brought up that fear, and bam, meltdowns, okay? And I was amazed at dealing with some things even this last couple months. I was like, what? So here we go. So this is what we have to do. We have to spot fear. Now, some of you, easy peasy, you're doing good. But maybe you're sitting here, it's not because it's you. You know somebody whose life is controlled by fear. You just see them just hitting the meltdown button. So take this in and say, oh, well, Pastor D, I already know that. But maybe you can be a blessing to somebody else, okay? So we need to spot fear because Satan's strategy is to cloak. How many of you Star Wars fans were, you know, we're going to cloak our spaceship so that we can go past the enemy. I love this stuff, okay? So, but Satan tries to cloak fear, disguise it, okay? And then one day something triggers it and you're like splat on the floor. So we need to understand what fear looks like or symptoms, okay? We need to have an understanding, okay? And because we need to be able to spot the presence of fear. And maybe not your life, but maybe it's a relative of yours. And they are bound and they're controlled and they're not living a life that God planned. So today we're going to talk about fear. We're going to talk about symptoms. We're going to talk about how to spot it. We're going to talk about what to do and how to kick it out, okay? So now, how many of you mamas remember giving the key to your young driver? And that is the night... Back when Sherry said, I don't think we even had a cell phone. That's how old we are. Yeah, right. And that is the night they have your minivan and they're going someplace and it starts pouring down rain. Pouring down rains. So let me say, fear can start with a concern. I was doing good till the pouring down rain. And then I turn on the news. Flash flooding in Spring Grove. Oh my gosh, the roads are terrible. There's been an accident on 116. And right about there, I'm in worry. And then I hear a siren go by. Woo, woo, woo. I am on the floor being the crazy mama. I am now in alarm and anxiety, okay? So fear can just start as a little concern. But it has a way, not always, but... cell phones are wonderful. Call your kid. Tell them to call you, okay? Now, that was my one story. Actually, Sherry was a good driver, and actually, she didn't get to drive the car much because I was riding kids around. Last two, oh my golly, all right. But, so I have a dear friend, and she has this little dog. She has this little dog, and every time I come to her house, this dog charges up. And it's just a little thing, okay? And I probably said it nicer than I'm going to go say to you, but like, what the heck is the problem with this dog? Okay? Don't listen to this. All right. So she started explaining that her dog has fear issues. Okay. I love animals. I love that you have animals. I just don't want to have them. So forgive me if I chuckle here, okay? But she's going through this whole thing, and she goes, look, Dee. So she pulls up on the internet, and it sends us to this YouTube link, which she happened to know with, and it goes through dogs that have fear. Okay, dogs that have fear, aggression because of fear. Okay, and this is what it said. It says, because I was like, I called her up. I said, where was that thing? Okay, she said, this is what the research said. Dogs that have fear issues, okay? If initial warning signs are ignored, the fear can lead to anxiety, extreme submission problems, barking, growling, air snapping. It's like, okay, be nice to me. And biting. All right? This is an anti-anxious dogs. Okay. This is dogs that have fear issues. Okay? Now we're talking about people. All righty? So we want to learn how to confront. We want to learn how to deal with fear. Amen? We need to learn how to do this. Okay? Rather than running away from it. Okay, running away, because listen, you may try running away, but that thing's going to run after you. It's going to keep on you. So we need to learn how to identify what fear is and then deal with it. Okay, and then kick it out of the park. All right. So again, we have to know how to deal with it instead of responding to fear. All right. And I was amazed this early on, you know, this COVID thing, I was responding to fear. Okay. Because again, fear is one of those strategies the devil uses to control your life. I hate that. I don't want to be controlled. Not by him, at least. So that's what we want to do. We want to turn to James chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to do this. This is how you can deal with fear. James chapter 4, verse 7. So someone gave me a new Bible, so, you know, I'm breaking it in. I'm reading all these great translations. This is the Passion Translation, and it goes like this. So then, surrender to God, or we could say, because we're going to use this word, respond to God. Respond to God. So then, surrender, respond to God, stand up to the devil, resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Okay? So we're going to talk about four practical ways that you can respond and kick him out so he runs away. Now, here's another scripture. Jump over back to Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. If you just want to look up there, also jot them down for later, okay? Romans 12, 21. Now, the New King James, so I'm going to give you a different translation, but, you know, sometimes you just memorize this thing and it just goes, wing, wing. So the New King James says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. But listen to the Passion Translation. Never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. Defeat evil with good. Okay, so fear is evil. Everybody agree? Fear is evil. Fear is evil, okay? And gripping terror fear is evil, okay? All righty? National fear is evil, okay? Just world fear is evil. The financial disaster is bad and it's evil. So we all agree, fear is evil, okay? And this scripture there says, you are not to be overcome with that evil, right? Says, don't be overcome with that evil. And how many of you know people that are overcome in fear? Don't raise your hand, point to someone else. Okay? Okay? Overcome. They're overcome with this. And yet it says you are actually to overcome it with good. So we're going to talk about practical ways, good ways to do that. We're going to figure out how to kick it out. Alrighty? Now, if you're taking notes, we're going to go over four symptoms or types of fear. And then we're going to talk about how we respond to it, all right? Because it's nice to go, well, yep, I get it. Now what do I do with it? So here's the first one. Fear contracts, okay? Fear contracts. Fear is you're afraid of something and you contract. Every muscle in your body contracts. Everybody know what I'm talking about, all right? Now, how many of you have seen or know what a roly-poly is, those little bugs? I don't even know if they have a real name. We call them little roly-poly bugs. Y'all don't have them? Yeah, I'm around here, right? Okay. Texas, they got armadillos, but we got roly-polies. And please don't think I'm not nice or anything, but we'd pick up those little roly-polies, and we'd poke at them. And guess what they would do? Because they're afraid. right? They'd roll up. That's why they're called roly-polies, okay? And I want to tell you the rest we did. So we're talking about fear contracts. Fear contracts. And you know what this may look like? I've seen it. You've seen it. Hoarding. Oh, I gotta get. I need more. Okay? Have you seen hoarders? Watch the show. It's disgusting. Okay? But you may know, maybe not a disgusting, but you know hoarders, okay? And really, hoarding is a symptom of fear. I gotta have it. I need more, okay? Now, I'm not talking about being practical. You should have a little extra, okay? I'm not talking about that, alrighty? But hoarding is really driven by fear. All right. And it is definitely not comforting. You watch the people that are full blown hoarding. They're not in happy la la land and joyful. That is not comforting. Anybody know some people like that? Okay, I'll look at the ceiling. Don't point at anybody, right? All right. So hoarding is a symptom of contracting fear. Okay, contracting, all right? Another one is, you all seen this, greediness. Are you kidding me? March. Greediness in the month of March. Try finding toilet paper, chicken. Just people got greedy. Gotta, right? Contract. Gotta have. Okay. It was not nice. Alrighty. So 1 John 4 says that God is love. Everybody know that? God is love. Everybody say God is love. Alrighty. And then John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. All right, so put them together and follow me. Love gives. God gives. Love gives. You ought to write that down, okay? So how do we resist contracting, constricting fear? Guess what? Give. Real simple. Just give, okay? Now, you can do this. Because you've been given authority, you can go, fear, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. You can do that, all right? And then you can do James. You can submit, surrender to God, and resist the devil, okay? And then Romans 12:21, how about this? You overcome this evil, okay? And you resist it by giving, all right? Real simple. This isn't rocket science. It's really simple. I love God so simple, okay? So, what is the good we can overcome this type of fear? Start giving. Start giving, okay? All right? Do the opposite of hoarding. Do the opposite. Start giving. Start giving, okay? All right. So, number two, type or symptom of fear. Ready? Fear fights. Fear fights. What's that phrase? Fight or flight, or flight or fight, whatever comes first. But fear fights. Fear fights, okay? You probably know people, and you've been, oh gosh, just people in fear, and they're really agitated. They're like that dog. Right? You get around people, they're in fear, and they're agitated. They're agitated because they're in fear. All right, you get around them, okay? I liked it, the YouTube thing my friend would show me. Most aggression stems from fear, okay? Now, a growling, snapping dog isn't fun. Maybe for you, but it's not, okay? Now, how many of you know some people that are agitated and they're biting and they're snapping at you? Okay, all the time with their words. I say shooting missiles, okay? They are short-fused, okay? Anybody know anybody like that? Especially, yeah, all righty. And also, if you have that person, that is a sure way to break a friendship. That is a sure way to do damage to a relationship if you are always, okay? All right, praise the Lord. I'm making you laugh, okay? Now, but think about it. We have been in a world and a nation and a city and of people that have been under extreme pressure, right? This has not been a roll in the park. And top that with fear, woo, man, it's just been ugly out there, okay? And families, gee whiz, all right? So you wonder why people are biting and lashing out. I believe that aggression is really a low level of fear. Or not even low, it's just stinking fear, okay? So, what do you do if somebody's always biting at you? What do you do if they're always snapping at you? Air snap. Okay? Biting at you, okay? What do you do? Okay? What do you do when your home is in this pressure and there's this, or in your workplace or in a friendship? What do you do when someone's always biting at you, or snapping at you? Just, okay, what do? Bite them back? No, okay? What do we say? We need to resist the fear. We need to resist the fear, okay? So, we said, well, you can pray and say, fear that's been aggressive, I resist you, I command you to leave. Yes, you can do that. You can do, respond by what James said, or I like Romans 12:21. How about we resist fear and respond by being grateful? And we actually sang a song. How about you just walk around grateful? Just grateful. Like, just be grateful for your day. And I was hanging out with Pat back there last week. She invited me to her swimming pool. I was like a kid. Saturday night, I had my swim bag packed. I was so psyched because we were going Sunday after church. I was excited. And we don't do laps because it's an above ground and we're swimming around. Okay? And you know what we started doing? And Pat started it. She just said, you know, I am just so grateful for what God has done in my life. I am grateful for this. I am grateful for that. I am grateful for this. And listen, Pat grew up in a divorced home. Pat's had some doozies. And all I heard out of her mouth was gratefulness. And then I was like, well, I'm grateful for this. And then she'd go, I'm grateful for this. We just had a great old time, okay? So be grateful and thankful. God, thank you. That was good coffee. God, I'm just so grateful my teen cleared a path to their bed. I'm just so grateful this morning. Hallelujah, okay? Okay, now, every one of you all that has a relationship, you have received Jesus. You now have a relationship with Jesus and the Father. You now have access, okay? Every time you are grateful, you put yourself under the spout where the glory comes out, okay? In gratefulness, you have positioned yourself to the Father. You're keeping your eyes up to Him and His blessings upon you. And by the way, they've already been given to you, but yeah, you know, there's a part that you play. Grateful. Grateful. All right? Grateful. Okay? Acknowledge the good things that you do. I remember Brother Hagin telling a story, just a funny story. And I don't know if he told a story about what someone else told the story, but I'm going to tell the story. So he's at this funeral, and there's the dead body in the casket, right? They don't put live bodies in there, of course, Pastor Nate. Okay, dead body. And everybody's walking by just saying, that person was a real, that person was okay. And he walks up and he goes, well, sure had nice teeth. You can find something to be thankful for and grateful for. Amen? Amen. Okay. Turn over to Psalm 102. Well, just write it down. Psalm 103. Verse 2, Psalm 103, verse 2. You probably know this. This is gratefulness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, okay? And forget not all His benefits. Like, don't forget His benefits. Remember the good things He's done in your life. Remember the things He's given you. Remember yesterday. Remember the past, okay? Remember the good things, all right? That gets you in gratefulness. You're in the right place, all right? By the way, just keep your ears open to God and what He's doing. He is always doing good things. He's always doing it. Turn over to Philippians 4:8. Listen to this. So keep your thoughts just on Sunday. Just when you get paid. No. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on that. Fixed on all that is authentic and real and honorable and admirable and beautiful and respectful and pure and holy and merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always, okay? Guess what, guys? Praise will just kick agitation out the door. Just start. If you got, and you know, we always like to say this person does this. This person's always like that. No, you know, we kind of drift in that. You feel yourself being agitated. Praise the Lord. Give him praise. Praise. I'm telling you, if we could see spiritually what happens on a Sunday morning, the stuff that gets washed off in praise, we'd be pulling the drain plug and let it go, baby. Go. All right. Okay. Praise actually neutralizes the acid of people biting, okay? Biting your loved ones. You know, catch yourself being agitated. Go in the corner. Start praising God, okay? Go for a drive. Just start praising God, okay? All right, third symptom or symptom of fear, third type of fear, okay? And how it's expressed. This is number three. Fear despairs. Fear despairs, okay? So what does that look like? You've seen it. It looks like depression, right? Extreme anxiety. They're in despair, all right? It's despair. If it's despair, they cave in on themselves. They're just like, golly, I give up. I can't do this. Nothing works. They are in despair, and it's really fear. It is fear. It is fear. It's fear. Okay. And that is why, and I just got a memo from the organization that we're ordained under, and they're giving us information about suicide. There are people that are in such despair that there've been a rise on suicide. And I get it. They're in despair. They're like, I can't do this. There's no hope. All right. A friend of a friend, I was actually watching their clip, all right, and they had been, they're from the Bible school that we went to, and then they were starting a Bible school in Italy, and they stayed there for almost 15 years, started a Bible school. They helped their students start churches, just wonderful people, and now they're in Australia. But she was talking about they stay in good contact with the people in Italy, and so she'd been talking to them, and pretty much the two people that she had been talking to that are in Italy, and these are Christians, these are leaders of that are Christians, and they said, we have such despair going on in our nation. This fear of getting the COVID virus, but even on top of that, just despair for our nation, the economy. We have such fear for the economy. And listen, it is down the drain there. It is bad. And we have this despair, no hope because of the economy and our businesses and our homes. And there, people, all they can see is no way out. And they have a horrific rise of suicide. Why? Despair. What's behind despair? Fear. All right. So all of these ways that we overcome evil, I'll tell you what, they're powerful. So praise the Lord. Just break loose and praise the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Do the cha-cha dance and jump up and down. Okay. You have a choice. You have a choice, okay? So we resist fear and respond to God. We just talked about giving praise and worship. Okay, there's this, write this one down. We can resist fear and respond to God through prayer. Prayer, all right? Prayer. Philippians 4:6. Ready? Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Now, I don't know about you, when I read that, don't fret, don't be in worry, don't have anything about anything. I was like, what planet do you live on? Okay? You know, you must not be dealing with the stuff we're dealing with. You must not be in a disaster, in crisis. You must not. Guys, who wrote Philippians? The Apostle Paul. And he was writing this from prison. And let me tell you, it's not your county or Camp Hill where you get three meals a day, a hot shower, and you can lift weights. Okay? It was bad. All right? So here's Paul writing this, and he's like, don't worry about anything. I'm like, where, you know, what did you eat? Okay? So don't worry, don't fret about anything. The rest of it says, but in everything, in crisis, in national crisis, in world upheaval, in jobs and all this, in everything by prayer, supplications, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All right? So basically saying, hey, don't worry about anything. Don't fret. Don't worry. Did you read that? Is that what yours says? That's what mine says, okay? Guess what? You were not created to carry it. Thank God. All right? And that's why y'all look like a mess. Well, I look like a mess when I start worrying, okay? Not you all, okay? But we weren't meant to do that. We weren't created to do that, okay? And so verse 7 tells you the result if you don't worry and you pray. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, okay? But guys, listen, God can't guard your heart and your mind if you're in fear. You have to make a choice. God can't do it, all right? Okay? And if you don't give it to him in prayer, give it to him in prayer, give it to him in prayer. By the way, leave it in prayer. Leave it at him. No, pick it up, okay? If you don't give it to him in prayer, he can't guard your heart and your mind. So we have a choice, all right? We have a choice. What is our choice? Pray, all right? Pray, all right? Prayer, anybody just loves prayer. Every hand goes up. Okay. So prayer is also exercises our consciousness in the presence of God. We sang a song. I was like, when I go in prayer, I am conscious. I'm coming into the throne room, come boldly into the throne room. I'm not going into the garage. I'm going into the throne room, and I am conscious of the presence of God. I don't want to go anyplace else, right? That is a wonderful place to be, okay? But maybe instead of, you know, the prayer at the door, you know, God is good, God is great, thank me for a good. No, come into his presence, all right? Have a consciousness that when you pray, I am in the presence of God. Woo! I'm in the presence of God, all right? The presence of God is through prayer. So therefore, now he's going to step on toes, hide him out. If I am in the throne room of God, I'm in the presence of God, I am conscious, I am before my Father, my Savior, the Holy Spirit, and I'm coming in and I'm praying, then I can pray for my leaders. Yeah! Yeah! Okay? And I can pray in a good way that there'll be a good things that happen. I can pray about my business with confidence and not fear and agitation and, oh my gosh, and constricting. Because I have a consciousness that I, if you've received Jesus, you have been invited into his presence if you choose to go there in prayer. Amen. So, rather than sucking it in yourself and getting all anxious and anxiety and fear, just pray about it. Just pray, give your thing to the Lord, all right? Last one, here we go, last one. So we're talking about fear and symptoms or types of fear, all right? So here's this one. Fear hides. Fear hides, okay? Fear hides. So resist fear. Respond to God by obeying. Oh, I love that word. O-B-E-Y. We have a cute little song in children's ministry. My kids hated it. Okay? Mamas loved it. This is how you respond to this. Resist and respond by obeying what God says. Okay? The word of God will tell you what God says. All right? Now, so we're going to resist this type of fear by obeying. All right? All right? And this type of fear wants to hide, but we need to obey when God talks to us. We need to obey when we read our Bible, all right? How many know the story of Elijah? Elijah had gone to the brook Cherith, and the Lord said, hey, you go there, and I'm going to send ravens to feed you. Anybody know that story? All right? All righty. Now, the reason why we know this story is because he did it. O-B-E-Y. He did it, and it's in the Bible, okay? Now, what if he didn't go there? What if he didn't obey, all right? God, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Birds, God, that's gross. I'm not doing that. It makes no sense. What if he didn't do what God directed him to do? All right. Well, number one, there'd be no more story to read, right? Two, there would be no Elijah because he'd be dead, starved, right? Some of you look at me like, gee, that's complicated. No, it isn't. All right. Listen. Okay. But listen, write this down. Provision, like birds feeding you, provision depends on obedience. Woo! Good preaching, Pastor D. Provision depends on obedience. That's that choice. We got a choice, all right? So Elijah went, he obeyed, and what did God do? He provided, all righty? Elijah. Okay, now we got the guy, Elisha. And Elijah goes to this widow woman and her little boy, and he says, hey, feed me. Praise the Lord, it wasn't me. What? But he goes to her and he goes, feed me. And she's got this little bit of meal and oil, and she makes him a meal, a bread, a piece, you know, bread cake, all right? And she does that, okay? And the oil and the meal lasted. Why? She obeyed. She obeyed the prophet who'd heard from God, all right? Now, as long as there was famine in the land and Elijah was with her and she never ran out, and she saved herself and her boy because she obeyed. Provision depends on obedience, all right? Provision depends on obedience, all right? Here's another one. Jesus told his disciples one time, hey, boys, throw your net out on the other side. They're out fishing. And listen, they had fished all night, done it by themselves, wink, 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 done it by themselves, okay? And what happened? They obeyed, threw their net on the other side, and provision came. Obedience is provision. All righty. How about this one? The story of Jairus and his little daughter that was raised from the dead, okay, was only a result of obedience, right? Jesus said, what did Jesus say to Jairus when he found out that, you know, that his daughter was dead? Jesus whipped around. He said, only believe. And you're like, what? That's all I have to do? And he did. And what was the result? His daughter was raised from the dead. Obedience, provision, obedience. All right. So can God still do miracles today? Amen. Good. One excited person. He does. Okay. But it's really interesting when I start looking at in these scriptures, in these verses of scriptures about provision. Most times there's two parts to this. Right? The God side and your side. God makes this, he's already provided everything for life and godliness. He's called you the children of Abraham. You're blessed coming in, blessed going out. There's the God side. But guys, it is really important that we do our side. All right? That's the obedience. All right? So we're doing Christmas in July, and next week we'll actually wrap up. But probably in May, kind of had a little staff meeting, and I go, what do you think? Should we do Christmas in July? And, you know, I was going, Lord, you know, we got this pandemic thing going on, and I know some people are out of work. I know some people are wondering if they'll have work at the end of the week, the end of the month, the end of the year. You know, I'm not so sure we should do this. And man, I heard from God. He said, you give your people an opportunity to give, and then I will do the provision. I said, yes, sir. Okay, we're going to do it. All right. So praise the Lord. Turn over to Psalm. Let me give you good ones here. Psalm 37. We're talking about give right here. All right. Psalm 37, verse 25. I crack up on this one. I once was young, but now I'm old. Not once have I found a lover of God forsaken, nor have any of their children gone hungry. Instead, I have found the godly ones to be generous. Does that sound like God? God is love, God is give, God gives, okay? To be generous ones who give freely to others and their children are blessed and become a blessing. This is my prayer for my children. You want to jump in it? You should pray this all the time. Father, I thank you. I am not afraid for my children. I am not wrapping them in fear. I thank you that my children are blessed to be a blessing. And I thank you, Father, they give when they've got opportunities to give and they are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. All you mamas, daddy say amen. All righty. Let me give you the Cashman Fast Version, Acts chapter 3. Okay, Acts chapter 3. We have Peter and John. They've gone to the temple to pray. I could sing the song, but I won't. Okay, and they met this lame guy who's begging at the gates. And the lame beggar goes to them and asks them for some alms, money. Hey, do you guys have any money? And what is this, what do they say, Peter and John? Silver and gold I don't got, but such as I have, I give to you, okay? Now, we're talking about giving, and of course, giving many times has to do with finances. Sometimes it's material things. Sometimes God says, give this away, give that way, all right? Do stuff like that, but not there and not all the time. Doesn't always have to do with money, especially this time. Because, you know, if you look at this story, silver and gold really wasn't going to help a crippled guy. I mean, it might have got him food for the week, okay, right? Silver and gold wasn't going to meet his needs, okay? But God wanted to do something. Mm-hmm. So Peter and John turn around and they go, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And it says he went walking and leaping and praising God. All righty. So they had something to give him that wasn't silver and gold. Praise God. All right. And listen, we should be happy about giving finances, happy about giving out rolls of toilet paper, y'all. Okay. You should just, you know, do that. We should always be willing. But listen, they gave the power of God and this guy received his healing. All right. So giving isn't always finances, but we always check our heart on things like that. Okay. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, Matthew 6, verse 31. Matthew 6, verse 31. So then, forsake your worries. Don't worry. All right? I love it when they're so nice about it. And I just want to go, don't worry. Why? He's going, why? Why would you say, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Question, here we go. Does your heavenly Father already know the things that your bodies require? The answer you already know. Yes, he's my God. He knows, okay? So keep reading verse 33. So above all, constantly go after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. And I'm like, less important things? Yo, I need food. I need clothes. Okay. I need to know how to pay my bills. They're not just less. Okay. But listen to what he says. Basically, it's the King James. Seek first God. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness. How about you make God your priority? And he goes, then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Verse 34, so refuse, do not worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself, okay? Turn over. I am squeezing in two more scriptures. One more scripture, maybe scripture. Okay, here. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. Let this scripture just wash over you guys, okay? Isaiah 58, verse 10. Isaiah 58, verse 10. Just come on, just let it go. And if you pour out that which sustains your own life for the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness and your obscurities and doom become like the noonday. All right. So interesting. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 11. And the Lord shall guide and continually satisfy you. What? The Lord shall guide and continually satisfy you in drought, in dry places, in the crazy world, in this economic thing that is just upside down, in my home. Yeah. And the Lord will guide and continually satisfy you in drought and in dry places and make you strong, and you shall be like a watered garden. You know what's the coolest thing about here? I don't have to water my garden. Guess who's watering it? God! God does the watering, okay? He will guide you, satisfy you, and strengthen you. That is so cool. All right, verse, the rest of it. So you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water does not fail. All right? So guys, you're not going to dry up. You're not going to fail. All right? You're not going to perish if you stay connected with the Lord, if you tap into Him. All right? So don't hide. Don't despair. Don't fight. Don't contract. Don't fear. Amen? Okay? Instead, respond to God like the ways we talked about it. Okay? Now, that verse we just read says that we are to pour out from your substance, yeah, right, okay, pour out of your own life, all right? It's not talking about the things that sustain you as food and you go to the grocery store, though it will, okay? But it's talking about, how about the thing that sustains me, the thing that sustains you is the Word of God. That is it, baby. Okay? It says the word of God, right? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the thing that's going to sustain you. And yeah, I like to eat chicken and steak, but that is not the thing that's going to sustain you. Okay? So he's saying, pour out what God has given to you and give to others. All right? Gonna stretch you. Say youchy right now. Okay? So how about pour out and give to somebody what you have heard from God? How about pour out and give to somebody a word? How about pour out and give to somebody an encouragement? How about pour out and give to somebody a smile, right? All right? Because that is the greatest treasure, when you can pour out what God has given you and give it to somebody, okay? So what does it look like? What does it look like? What does it look like to pour out and to give to someone, all right? Well, one, every morning, open your eyes and pray and say, Lord, I am your light. I'm your person. I'm your most special one. I am you on the earth. Give me opportunities to pour out, all right? And then you've asked God, give me an opportunity to pour out, okay? And then God puts peoples in your path. And then I see this lady over here and I go, Lord, you need to ask them first, okay? Some of you go in with a hatchet and smacking and smacking, okay? But ask them, hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? So let me tell you the story my friend told me, okay? She's sitting in the car at the grocery store. Her husband came in. She's sitting out there. She actually had the window down with her mask on. And she looks over at the car next to her, and there's this lady, elderly. My definition of elderly is about 105 now, okay? So there's this elderly lady sitting next to her, and she just yells through. She goes, hi, how you doing? And the lady was a little, you couldn't tell because she had her mask on, but it looked like a little grumpy. And she said, may I pray for you? And the lady said, would you please pray for me? I am so afraid that I'd get this virus, and I'm really afraid for my children. So my friend just slapped on prayer. Okay? Wasn't that cool? Okay, now here's another one. This is a friend of mine. When they're doing road construction and they make it one lane, so you have to stop, and they got some guy with that stop sign, and he's walkie-talking back and forth. So there must have been a big mess. So my friend, he's in his car, and he actually is right next to the guy with the stick that goes stop. And he goes, hey, how you doing? He goes, man, it's a tough one. Hey, can I pray for you? Oh, man. Oh, yes, please. And he just unloads, and he prays for him. He poured out. Real easy, okay? And listen, don't think people don't need prayer. Don't think they don't want prayer, okay? Probably 99.9% of the time, they'll say, yeah. Yeah, alrighty, okay? And so go looking for places every day. Every day, not just today, tomorrow, every day. Lord, I'm asking you to put people in my path that I can pour out to. And then you go watch what God does and follow his lead, okay? All right, guys, the most precious treasure, shoo, okay, all right, is the good news. Okay, one more story. So this is my friend, and they're actually young because I wouldn't know how to do this, but they had called for Uber Eats. I now know what it is, okay, to come to their house. I love young people. They're just pulling me along. So he had called to, and that means the delivery guy comes and gives him food. So he called for Uber Eats. They come to his house, and he's standing at the front door. The guy's got his mask on, and the gentleman who's going to receive the food has his mask on, and he just starts chit-chatting. Like, hey, how's your day going? You know, when did you start and all that stuff? And listen to this. Before that gentleman, the delivery Uber Eats guy left, he may have left food, but he left with Jesus in his heart. It is easy, guys. Listen, God is always wanting and he's doing good things, but maybe you make a choice, right? Amen, okay? And listen, your life can change. We're talking back to fear. Your life can change, but listen, we just went over ways, but you have to put them into practice. Okay, you have to be obedient to the Lord, and you're like, well, that was such a good message. I love when you tell me, Pastor D, that was a good message. I go, glory to God, hallelujah, I give you all praise in the Lord. But you can walk out and do that, but listen, you have to put it into practice, or your life's not going to change, okay? And listen, so we need to resist the devil, okay, and respond to God, and when you do that, he will move in your life. Hey, how many of you know that to be true? God's moved in your life, done things which you thought were unturnable. All righty? Praise God, all right? So but listen, here's the most important thing, is to give your heart to Jesus. Amen? Right? Okay? And, you know, I was praying, and I just almost saw, like, Jesus calling. And he's just yelling at people in a nice yell. Come to me, run to me, run to me, run to me, run to me. That is his desire. It's never changed. It never will. Okay, but there'll be a time when, end of story, okay? But he is today calling, saying, run to me. I will save you. And you know, sometimes, how many of you tried saving yourself? Oh, man, I have volumes even in 25 years of, you know, just trying to save myself, okay? And listen, you can't save yourself. Everybody say amen. You can't look to the government to save you. Amen. You can't look to your best friend to save you. Amen, okay? Listen, but listen, we got God who's a professional of saving. He's a professional, okay? And he wants, all he wants you to do is to run to him. Amen. It's real easy. How many of you have run into the arms of Jesus, made him your savior? All right. So I'm just going to pray right now, and then we're going to let you out. Glory to be. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for giving us Jesus to be our savior. We thank you. We thank you that we couldn't save ourselves. We thank you we can't save ourselves from this plague or economics. We couldn't. We can't. And Lord, we are going to trust you, Father, for everything. And Lord, I thank you that we couldn't save ourselves from eternity. Only you can do through Jesus. So if you're here today and you would like to ask Jesus to come in and save you, to put you into that fellowship where you get to come boldly into the throne, just pray this from your heart. Pray it out loud. All right. I know many of you have already prayed this, but just simply say, Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you gave Jesus to die for me. Whoo! And you raised him from the dead. And he's alive today. Whoo! Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, that's that grateful, thankful. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to come into my heart. I give you my past. I give you my future. I give you everything. And Jesus, today, I welcome you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 If you prayed that today, woo, your life is forever changed. The Bible says that heaven is having a party, rejoices, all right? So praise God. Hey, I love you guys. Let's stand up. Remember, we resist who? The devil, and we respond to God, and he will do what only he can do. Y'all have a great week. Amen. A little music maestro in the back, or Michelle, thank you.
Don't you know Adam got invited to Mark Solomon's house? so he can't do a dinner or lunch.
I forgot to call you.